This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can he close me up on one ground?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Round up the usual suspects.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have this far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat
and put on the Kevlar.
It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is a radio show that is stopping totalitarianism one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? That's the big question that's out there now, isn't it? So welcome. We have Chris Street with us here in the third hour on Agenda 21 Radio. But first, make sure you get yourself oriented. Go to agenda21radio.news. That's agenda21radio.news. And also newcaliforniastate.com. 46 counties coming on board now. We're upping the ante, collecting two more counties this week, it looks like. And we're growing, getting bigger, stronger. It's a process. It's a movement that's, set in motion and, well, going to end up with the 51st state in the union. So welcome aboard, like I said. So Chris Street's with us. And Chris, a lot of big news. Let's talk about the Supreme Court here because there's some major things that have happened here. We have Justice Kennedy is announced his retirement. And, of course, the big one, though, that I think that's really important is the Janus decision. Of course, I'll just let you go free reign. I know there's been a whole bunch of things that have happened here in the Supreme Court. So welcome to Agenda, welcome back home, I guess you can say, to Agenda 21 Radio.
Well, thank you, Paul. I think the most important issue is that democracy is defeating the Democratic Party. With the decision by the Supreme Court on Janus, what Janus said is that for public employees, it is actually illegal to make them pay political contributions. But I believe 1977, the Supreme Court ruled that there could be agency fees. Now, agency fees mean fees for negotiating contracts for public employees, whether you like it or not. And in California, that works out to about 78% of the union dues were miraculously turned into agency fees. So the vast majority of people who do not want to be part of a union, do not support their political agenda, were forced to pay. Changing this issue, unions will have to compete. And I want to repeat that word, compete
right.
for workers. And when you compete for workers, you have to have an agenda that helps workers, not a political agenda controlled by powerful people hooked up with certain political parties. So I think this is going to have a dramatic change to the Democrat Party. I think the Democrat Party is going to get out of its shell and start looking at the people it supposedly represents. And I think their policies will become much more pro-economic growth. And all of this social agenda will be fine if you want to go do that in another organization. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a dramatic change. Obviously, public employee unions are now larger than private unions. So you're talking about shellacking, I would say, 40 to 60% of union dues.
That's that, and that, of course, is just a huge. It's devastation to the unions, as we know. And of course, out here in California, the big one, SEIU, is going to be taking some major league hits. Because California, the state, isn't it the biggest employer now in California?
Well, government is always the biggest business because government's about 42% of all GDP in California. So when people say Nancy Pelosi is some kind of socialist or communist, no. She's a hardcore entrepreneur. She's just not in your entrepreneurial game.
Yeah.
California gets 22%. Of all homeless money that comes from the feds. They get 31% of Obamacare and 33% of TANF for welfare payments. So as a business, government is a really big, big business. It just may not be your business, and that big, big business may also impinge on your ability as an individual to make a decent wage and have a decent family.
Yeah. Well, this is, like I said, it's a big blow. I think the government takeover of the unions really began in earnest in the mid-90s after the bankruptcy of Orange County and really expanded by the year 2010. I know that I was in, of course, the Sacramento area watching SEIU and all the other unions just get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. They just got wealthier and wealthier. You know, I envision that this staggering loss of income, because Chris, and you've worked with employees that have been had to be forced to be in unions. Most of them didn't want to pay the dues, and they didn't agree with the union leadership. I mean, I always found that.
Well, I actually ran you worked in schools. I worked in a county government, and I had 134 employees. And there were probably, of the 134 employees, there were probably 25 that weren't members of the union. And there were probably another 50 that didn't want trouble, so they joined the union. But I don't think any of them want to make the payments, because even if you didn't join the union, that 22% reduction in your union dues worked out to probably about $60 a month. Now, for most people, $60 a month is a really lot of money for a family. That's two nights out at a modest restaurant with you and the kids. So, take that away, and what do you get it as a union? I mean, hopefully you'd get representation, you'd get a better life, you'd get, a way to address grievances in the workplace. But that's not been the focus of unions. Unions have been political organizations, and the workers are sort of in the caboose. A train has a caboose way back there. That's sort of where the workers were put.
That's where the workers were put.
Anyway. They were referred to as those people. Yes, you know that one?
Yeah, I know those people. Right.
Yeah. Social justice warriors always talking about those people.
Right. Yeah, those people. And I mean, I've been referred to as those people before, of course. When you get in management and leadership.
That's deplorable, Paul.
Oh, I know it is. I know it is. I want to switch gears here a little bit before we get into the California scene. But this new flamethrower on the left, the 28-year-old girl, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. What are your thoughts on her?
I think it's great. I think it's absolutely outstanding. She's a wonderful speaker. And, Trotsky would be proud. I mean, this is a woman who
That's
can
right.
really voice her policies and opinions. And I think that those policies and opinions should have the opportunity to, you know, do battle, you know, in the public discourse. I think it's great that she's going to be that honest.
Well, you know, the thing is that a lot of people don't recognize what she is because, you know, she's a hardworking girl. She's not taking handouts. She doesn't believe in that. So that's a great sign. It's a very conservative sign. But then she's got the social justice thing going on the other side. Isn't this more like the social or the conservative socialist model that we've seen in Europe before?
No. No, she's actually conservatives and liberals, you know, her kind of liberals. There's some things we agree on. Mm-hmm. You know, the government is the enemy. She understands perfectly well that government is the enemy. She understands that basically it's a big fraud. Remember, the guy she beat was going to be speaker if Pelosi lost, the gavel if the Democrats took over the Congress. So we're not talking about knocking off, you know, some congressmen from from podunk nowhere. We're talking about the second or third most powerful person in the Democrat Party in the House. So, you know, the most powerful person in the Democrat Party for years was Nancy Pelosi because she really brought home the bacon. Mm-hmm. You know, this guy was set up to be worth, you know, to move billions of dollars of money, and he got taken out by a 28-year-old social activist. You
know. Well, hang on, Chris. We got the music coming up, and then we'll come back, and we're going to talk more about this phenom that we have in New York, a whole new Democratic Party, perhaps. Anyway, stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
We are sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-558-7297 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-558-7297 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-558-7297. That's 1-800-558-7297. Again, 1-800-558-7297.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-711-5095 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-711-5095. Again, that's 800-711-5095.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of My Pillow. My employees and I would like to thank you for making My Pillow possible. Years ago, when I invented My Pillow, I thought I was the only one out there with problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I'd flip-flop all night, or wake up with a sore neck or headache. So that's why I invented My Pillow. You can adjust My Pillow's patented fill to your exact individual needs to help you get to sleep faster and stay there longer to get the quality sleep you need. I back it with my 10-year warranty and my 60-day money-back guarantee. And now to thank you, I'm bringing back my best offer ever. Buy one of my MyPillows and get another one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
There are enough laws on the books by Congress that are very clear in terms of how we have to enforce our immigration system.
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, agenda21radio.news. It's agenda21radio.news. And also newcaliforniastate.com. State of the future, the 51st state, and things are moving along. We're going to talk about that with Chris here in a little bit, but I wanted to get back into this young lady who's sort of taken everything by storm. I think it's kind of like it's an interesting situation that's been going on with the Democrats. Is this the person that's going to be the savior or the face of this Oscio or whatever her middle name is? Is she going to be the real savior of the Democratic Party? Chris, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think she's going to be saving the party?
Well, Paul, I think what you've got to be clear that, you know, the Democrats know really what the policies they support. It's called money. And the Republicans really are sort of like herding cats. There's a whole bunch of them. They're all kind of different. The only thing they have in common is they're not Democrats. And that way in California, people decided, well, if I'm not Democrat and I'm not a Republican, maybe I just should be declined a state. But it's really the Democrat Party who has controlled money in politics at the local level pretty much since around 1870 on. So the Democrats are, you know, the local guys that are on every street corner, you know, they're in every school, you know, they have an organization that really works their community. The problem for the Democrat power structure right now is they're so far away from that, you know, bricks and mortar kind of policies and campaigning, that you had this fellow who, you know, didn't show up for debates. Mm-hmm. You know, so they put the paper bag on his chair. he was very dismissive. And this girl has a network of 8,000 volunteers, all of which are millennials, all of which are hooked up in social media.
Right.
So she worked it hard. She earned it.
Yeah, we're talking about the Cortez girl and the defeat of the big-time Democrat here in New York, which is her name is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And it is really a very stunning election victory. And I'm kind of in awe of the whole thing. I like the way she financed it. I mean, here's a multi-million dollar proposition on her opponent's side. And, of course, she just works the social media. She came out with a commercial that went viral, homemade, they say. They say it's homemade. I don't believe it. It looks like it's professionally done in a homemade fashion, if you know what I mean. But it was very effective. Don't get me wrong. It was very, very effective, and it really reflected well on her. And the thing that it reflected well on her, Chris, was her work ethic more than anything else. She's not taking handouts. You know, she's not even remotely in that realm, and you would think that they want that whole dependency thing on the Democratic side, which is what we've seen from the past. This is a new, different type of Democrat than, you know, somebody who's really has a real strong work ethic and will not take a handout type of person. We've never seen I have never seen something like this. I really haven't. Not a
well,
long
she
time,
beat
anyway.
Joe Crowley, and right. He's kind of a blowhard anyway, but he outraised her 10-1, and he spent his 10-1. I'm not sure that she spent all her money. But the thing that she had that was most impactful is she actually had a flyer, a one-page flyer in green that she passed out to virtually every person who, you know, possibly could have gone out their door in New York's 14th district. And here's what she stands for: Medicare for all, universal job guarantee, fully funded public schools and universities, paid family and sick leave, housing as a human right, justice system reform, immigration justice, which is getting rid of ICE, infrastructure overhaul, clean campaign finance, ending corporate finance of public elections, and an economy of peace. Those are the new agenda for the left, and this is what you're going to hear.
Yeah, I think she said it. But, you know, the other thing, too, that's, like I said, is that work ethic of hers, which is something that, and I'm not saying that all Democrats don't work harder and they don't understand that. That's not what I'm saying. But the issue as a leader stepping forward in terms of promoting, in many backhanded ways, dependency on the government is gone with her. I don't see that in any way, shape, or form with her. The other thing that I really like about her, and I'm saying that this in the sense that she's a socialist progressive and so on, but I really believe that some of the things that she was saying and alluding to when she mentioned ICE as an example, she wants to get rid of it, but she wants to remake it. And this is her way of her worldview is to remake it in a more effective way. I think that's exactly what she said, which kind of really caught me because, you know, you would think that she'd want to ace the whole thing out completely, get rid of it. You know, but that's not really what she says in a lot of these circumstances when she talks about getting rid of things. She's, let's modify it and make it better. I think she used the word more humane and all that stuff. I think we all want to do that. It's that attitude that we're not going to destroy the whole system because there's got to be some good and it's necessary to have it. That's what I was picking up from her, which is a remarkable comment in and of itself. Or attitude.
Well, it's remember a lot of this is I said 2 years ago that it's not the Republicans that are cracking up as a party; it's the Democrats,
right?
Because the Republicans don't really have a party. they have some stuff. You know, they sort of talk about it as if they're a party. They're just against what the Democrats are because the Democrats. One thing about them is they take a Polaroid picture of their policies and procedures, and everybody down the line shall follow that Polaroid or they shall be, you know, sent out of the game. Now, she busted up the walls,
yep.
And all these other establishment Democrats are looking around and saying, hey, if she can beat Joe, she can easily beat me. And I think you're going to see a real fracturing of the Democrat Party into three pieces. You know, her kind of socialist progressives, you know, with a good tinge of Trotskyite in there.
Mm-hmm.
The second will be those conservative Democrats that probably been in the military and probably are going to say that they're sort of, you know, willing to talk to Trump. You know, sort of like the candidate in West Virginia that won in the primary.
Right.
And then
right.
You're going to have the, hold oners like Pelosi, who just their world is gone. I mean, they can pretend they're an establishment in control, but their world is gone. If you take a look at what's going on also with the investigation of the Democrat Party in the election, the lawsuits about it.
Right.
I mean, the Democrat Party could go away in a flash. They're pretty much broke. And you could have a brand new Democrat Party come back. And those social justice people are going to be the motivated party that builds that back up.
I want to talk I want to make this statement before I get to the next topic, because you brought it up about the lawsuits. But I see her being really more aligned with the attitudes of Donald Trump, actually. Aside from the social part of it, I find that pretty amazing. But in order for them to win, I think they're going to have to make that leap. And I'm talking about the Democrats because Donald Trump is winning, and people are going back to work, which is that's a sign of the times. People are going to start going back to work, and they're not going to be dependent on government any longer. And she's picking that up on the Democratic side.
I don't know exactly what she's picking up. You know, she's in the 14th district in New York, which is a minority district and lots of poverty. And once again, you know, this my opinion of illegal immigration, you know, it isn't undocumented workers. It's called wage breaking.
Right.
You know, if you're a legal Latina in Los Angeles and you were born here, you are very aware that illegal aliens come in and break your wages. That's why corporations support the Democratic Party, because there's money in it. If you go out on a construction site, you seldom see anybody speaking English. That's eliminated all the union control there. That's eliminated, you know, pretty much the cost, any of the liability. You know, there's good money in breaking the law institutionally, and that's what the Democrats have been good at. I think she challenges all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's good to her. Oh, I want to get into some of the lawsuits you mentioned about the voting irregularities and so on. What are you picking up from that?
Well, the biggest lawsuit, of course, is the lawsuit by San Diego law firm for $228 million for representing those people who donated to Bernie in the primary. And later on, it was found that the Democratic Party rigged the election for Hillary Clinton. And, you know, they're suing now. The case was thrown out for lack of standing. But the appeals court picked it up and looks like they're about to grant the ability to go to trial on this issue. If this thing goes to trial and the Democrats lose, they're going to owe $228 million plus interest. It's what's called a bang drop issue. So I think that lawsuit is just dangerous and it's going to happen.
Well, have you been keeping a tune on what's going on with this Jordan or this Rosenstein and Ray hearing and all the stuff that's been happening there? Have you been paying attention to what's going on with the FBI?
Yeah, I mean, I think the FBI is a game that's I give tremendous credit to Jeff Sessions. I know that's hard for a lot of conservatives because they want to go they want to get their guns out and start blazing away. If you want to take out the system, you don't just start firing off rounds.
Right.
You strategically walk it through the process. And isn't it interesting that all this is coming to a head just before the election?
Oh, yeah.
So if they would have shot their wad on this thing, you know, a year ago, what would you got out of it? I mean, a couple FBI guys go to prison. I mean, it looks like, you know, McCabe might flip and become a government witness against the FBI. Think of the power of that.
Right.
You know, Loretta Lynch is now a party of interest. They have emails that indicate that she was involved. I mean, if you'd gone through that last year, it'd be worthless. I think Jeff Sessions has done a masterful job of bringing this to a head. Probably, you know, August, September, maybe early October. I think there's a lot more we're going to find out, and it's going to be just jarring.
Right. Oh, I have. There's no doubt. I mean, my people have told me there's a lot more coming, and be ready for it. And apparently, from what I've been told by other sources, is that there's going to be a lot of it here in California as well. I mean, this whole steamroller effect from Sessions on down is just not going to stop at inside Washington D.C. It's going to keep on coming all the way to the West Coast. Your thoughts on that?
Well, here's where the money is, right? California is the linchpin for the Democrat strategy because here's where the cash is. You know, it's California corporations, big corporate interests, the top 1% of the 1% are here in California. You're talking about tech companies that were able to offload their manufacturing and employees to Asia and then offload their tax liability to Ireland. So, you know, they pay less than 1% tax. They don't have any labor issues. So, of course, they're very pro-union. I mean, it's the best of all worlds if you're Apple and Google, and that's all coming into play. I think that you're on the verge of a bust-up in Santa Clara. I grew up in Santa Clara, so I know the people there. And there's a lot of fear that funding source, you know, is about to blow up.
Well, let's talk about that and sort of get a juxtaposition of what's going on with this tax business, because you wrote an article, it's number one on Breitbart right now worldwide, about California's tax situation, the gas tax in particular. Let's get that discussion going, because I think it's really pertinent to New California, obviously, because this meteor that you've been talking about is about to, well, it's starting to come into, I think, clarity, the clarity of this meteor coming at us is starting to develop.
Yeah, I use that, word picture of a meteor that it's there. People first see it and they kind of get afraid of it, but nothing happens. They don't die. And even though it's kind of there and it's every day it gets a little bit bigger, but it, you know, it didn't kill me yesterday and hopefully it won't kill me today. But the thing is really like bright orange right now. And it's coming in because even Jerry Brown, who signed his balanced budget 2 days ago, his 16th balanced budget, Brown said in any recession, California is going to lose $18 billion of tax revenue per year. And recessions usually have a 2 to 3 year impact. So you're talking a $50 billion hit. Now, remember, the general fund budget for the state of California is about $138 billion. But that's not the money they can spend. It's actually of the $300 billion that they get, there's probably $30 billion, only 10% of all the money that comes to the state of California, that they have much control on their ability to spend. Now, that $10 billion also is about the size of the of all the payroll and benefits for the state of California employees. So how do you cut employment by 180% if you lose $18 billion? Tell me how that happens, Paul. That's the meteor.
And time frame for the meteor.
Brighter orange. My belief has always been that it'll come in the second or third quarter of 2019, that Trump understands the game. He'll take a recession in 2019, and they'll be back to a recovery in 2020 for the elections.
And California is going to be left holding quite a bag, aren't they?
Well, California has the most leverage in this game. Now, I lecture the Chinese. I mean, I wrote a piece called China Will Have the Mother of All Banking Crises about 4 or 5 years ago. And so they actually asked their executives and their top bureaucrats, I even had their Supreme Court, to be lectured by me when they come to the U.S. on the impacts of fracking and how they're losing their competitive advantage in manufacturing. I had a really important group in yesterday. And, you know, they understand that they're losing their export market, and they hope to look east. So California has won because of this California offloading of cost to China and labor, because we had the ports, we had the interface, we had the tech companies. If that goes in reverse, you know, California is not only going to have a recession, it's going to have a leveraged recession as the country's changing. So this is a double whammy for California.
So you're basically, what you're saying is that with the recession that's going to be found here in California naturally, given, you know, the structure of the taxation and also the loss of business that's going to start coming to Santa Clara County or the, you know, Silicon Valley industries, then China's got its own issues. Combine those two together, it's the bigger meteor that's going to hit.
Yeah, it's like getting slapped with one hand and the guy takes time out of his busy day to slap you with the other hand. You know? I mean, there's a term for what it probably is, and we all know that term, but I'm saying this is going to be nasty. And, yeah, you know, for the interesting people, if you're an intercity winner in this, you know, new era game, you know, the 10 million people, the 8 to 10 million people in California out of the 40 that really win on this, you know, those are the people going to pay a big price. If you're probably a suburb person, or if you're a more rural person, you know, I don't think you're going to get the same impact. I think that the change coming is going to be better for you. But for those elites that have been really winning here, man, they're going to take it hard.
Well, this is, of course, setting the groundwork for this proposition that's going to be on the ballot for
the gas tax. That's right. So let's get back to the gas tax.
Yeah, let's get back to that one.
Remember, the gas tax is $5.8 billion. Now, that's not part of that $18 billion recession. That's another
part, yeah. So that's just heaping on even more. So what you got is a pile.
So that's the third
effect.
Hand, Paul. They hit you. It's kind of like a karate guy. He hits you with one fist. He hits you with the other fist. Then he does a roundabout with the leg.
There you go.
You know, and if you're still standing, you are one impressive individual.
Or you get the headbutt.
Yeah, well, then maybe he finishes off with that. But right. All of this, and remember, once people realize they can vote away a tax Do you really think they're not going to put another vote away a tax initiative on the ballot?
So has this happened before in California where they voted a tax out like this?
Well, sure. You had Gray Davis, you know, who was the roommate of, I believe his roommate of Jerry Brown in college. And Gray Davis became the governor. And wasn't it 1978, Paul?
Well, that was
in 2000. And he immediately decided to do his, you know, his political stuff and control utilities in California. And you had this problem. And so he decided to solve his problem by raising the registration fee on your car.
Right.
And they and the TVs were down at the TV broadcasters down at the DMV in the first day. And the best thing I ever saw was this black guy who owns a van and has a delivery service. And he was holding his bill in two hands. And he came out and they put a mic right in his face and goes, "What do you think?" And he looks up and he goes, "I think my bill just went from $200 to $600. And they looked at him and said, "Was I going to have an impact on you?" And the look he gave them.
Yeah.
Because for a guy driving a van, $400?
Yeah, that's big money.
That was cash money. And yeah. He just walked off holding this with two hands. He just walked away. He never said another word. He looked at them so angry you couldn't see straight that they were so insensitive to his problems. And he walked away holding it with two hands towards his van, which he probably has to drive an extra hour a day to make up for that.
Now, this gas tax repeal, what other things are repealed within it? Because not just the gas tax itself.
Well, there's a gas tax, which is 12 cents, but that's also indexed to inflation, so that tends to go up. There's a registration fee that can be anywhere from $25 to $300. There's a fee for sustainable vehicles, electric cars. They're going to pay $100 a year. But for the average family, you know, that drives, if you got a $15,000 car and you drive it 25,000 miles a year, and you make, you know, $50,000 as a family income, you're going to pay $260 a year more. Now, that works out to just $20 a month, right? That's what you know, Brown likes. It's only $20. $20 to average Joe, say, we're at the 28th of the month, Paul. You were a principal. Kids start having modest lunches in the last week of the month. Isn't that clear?
That's correct.
I mean, most Americans live pretty close to exactly what they make. So at the end of the month, time's hard. Take that $20 away and think if it's going to impact that kid's lunch.
Oh, there's no doubt that it will.
Every month.
No doubt, yeah. And this is, you know, this is the insensitivity that, you know, that flippant behavior and attitude that comes out of Jerry Brown. Oh, it's just this and that, you know. But, you know, it means real things to real people. And that's what he's never in his career ever, had that sensitivity, if you know what I mean, or that empathy. He's always been an elitist. And so, but I want to get back into the impact of all this on New California, because this is sort of setting the stage, and I've been trying to tell people this, and people are believing it. They're seeing it now because, you know, it's affecting their lives, and of course they're understanding what's happening with this gas tax and everything else. But in New California circumstances, this puts a lot of pressure on those people that are in charge right now, the 120 legislators that are out there, the 80 assembly members and senators that we have to negotiate with. It puts a lot of pressure on them, doesn't it?
Well, you called them those people?
I did.
Those are your new best friends, Paul.
I know.
That's because right. When the crisis hits, they're going to try Plan A, raising taxes. Yeah, I don't think they're going to do that. No. They're going to have to try Plan B, and Plan B is dividing the state and having New California, which will be much more economically viable, will build big-time water infrastructure, you know, is going to expand energy development and resource, what it called, rare earth element mining. You know, it's going to go back to what works, and that's going to be an economic engine. That economic engine is going to be the only thing that can buy California out of its problem. And so for a reasonable cost, which is going to be paid for in water and higher oil output, New California will be able to go on down its happy way, and old California will become the social justice welfare, you know, wonderland where they have no competition. So I think those people, Paul, are going to love the fact that they're going to have 13, 14 counties with absolutely no competition from anybody else, and they can go along and make their social justice wonderland.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, in today's modern California with the legislature and all the laws and restrictions and so on, people really are being oppressed, yet they don't know it. And this is one of the things I've been trying to drive home to people in my discussions with them, that you're living in present-day California. Now, you've got to remember that New California is going to get away from everything that's oppressing you, and it's going to be a completely different experience. And, of course, the case in point, Chris, is, you know, we went to Texas a couple of years ago, you and I, and it's a completely different place. It's a completely different place from California, from the oppression in California, because they're letting people be people letting the counties do their thing. There's autonomy amongst the counties. And that liberating feeling that business has and everybody else has is a potent counter to the oppression that we have here in California.
Good jobs at good wages. You know, people really don't care about Donald Trump's riches. This is, you know, the Democrats are all distracted by the 1%. Most people would like to have another gigantic factory, you know, built around them, you know, that's paying $26 an hour in overtime. They're not opposed to, you know, people that start companies like Steve Jobs and such like that. What they're opposed to is these little worms, you know, in the top 20% of income brackets that rig the system so that regular people end up being servants and have their wages broke and don't really have a very good life.
Right.
That's really become the enemy. So in talk about California, you know, 70,000 people leave California every year to go to bad weather and great economics in places like Texas. I think those people would be willing to come back. I think they'd stop leaving. And that's really the business opportunity. Stop being stupid and bring back good jobs at good wages.
Yeah. And of course, you know, I put out a video months ago about, you know, people don't leave California, stand your ground, and come on back to California, New California, because it's going to be.
Well, New California would have a gigantic sign.
Yeah.
You know. We love you. We want you back.
Right, exactly. And there's going to be a lot of incentives for people to come back to New California. The economy is going to be absolutely booming out there. And we understand that. I mean, you and I understand that, and most of the people that are involved with New California do it also. But it's really hard for people to get away from the oppression. I think that's really the big signal here, is that you don't need to feel oppressed any longer in California when you have an opportunity to develop a New California.
Well, I think that the more you know about government, the less you like it. So in New California, you're going to know less about government because it's probably going to meet every other year. You're going to get rid of all these regulations that only employ more public employees to regulate the regulations. I mean, it's very unclear that global warming has done anything to the world. Matter of fact, if you take a look, it actually looks like it's going the wrong way. Most people don't realize one of the reasons that oil and natural gas prices are up right now is all of the icebreakers and all of the LNG ships that come out of Russia are frozen in right now. The Arctic is having this incredible expansion of ice, and it's freezing, Paul. You know, but you talk to all these people, you know, from the regulations, they're talking about, well, we're still in global warming. Warming, you know, there's a lot of people like those Russian ports to unfreeze. So, you know, most folks eventually figure out that they're pretty good scientists by watching what's going on. They don't need some algorithm. They can tell what's going on. The bottom line to it is they're paying a price for Jerry Brown's, you know, ability to fly around the world and be some kind of saint to fight global warming. I think they're ready for plan B.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, is that people, and I get, you know, I have citizen journalists that bombard me every morning with the emails and text messages and stuff. I'm getting a whole stream of them right now as we're talking, actually, on my cell phone. I'm watching click, 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 click. But
500,000 viewers last month. Congrats, Paul.
Yeah.
Or viewers, I should say, we've got a face for
yeah,
radio, right?
Right, exactly. But, you know, the thing is that the technology that everybody has at hand now is just vastly superior. You know, I'm getting satellite pictures. I'm getting all kinds of strange, you know, it's all these graphs and everything that just shoot right onto my screen. And, you know, people just at their fingertips. And they're doing their own analysis. And then we have a lot of these retired folks out there who understand what all that means. And, you know, so now we're getting better analysis of certain circumstances, especially government things. You know, I mean, I go back to when we were covering Benghazi, and the 18 hours or so when that thing first started popping, we're getting all this information. You know, now you get that information not in 18 hours, but probably less than an hour. You can get the complete story from all around the world. We get it, you know, as citizens, yet a lot of people, of course, are being suppressed. They don't understand how to get it. But it's just getting to be a lot easier to get instant technology and in-depth stuff so people can make their own determination about what government is doing and what is happening in the world around them.
Well, the NSA can't lie to you when you get instant messaged what's going on in real time. You can see where the bullets are flying, you know, where the Jeeps are moving off. I mean, it was hilarious for the first 48 hours. You know, we knew more than the U.S. government knew.
I know.
And this is the modern world, Paul.
Yeah.
You know, that information you can't keep, you can't fool the people anymore.
Well, on a side note to that, one of the other things that we covered was, of course, the Syrian gas business, in which it was, you know, you pretty much uncovered the information that came to you and other people, and we put it all together that the Syrian gassing was not done by Syria. It was done by the Saudis. Remember that?
Well, yeah, it was the ISIS people were actually demonstrating how they were killing rabbits. They were testing it on rabbits.
That's
and
right.
we got some of the emails were passed around by, you know, the ISIS folks, and they were practicing using sarin gas on rabbits. And eventually they, you know, sent some missiles with this stuff and chlorine gas into their own people, you know, the quote-unquote rebels. And then, of course, had all these guys called the White Hats. Don't you love that term,
the White Hats? Yeah.
You know, they're sort of ISIS people that wear helmets painted white. And they would then report that this was some kind of terrible disaster and Obama would bomb them.
Yeah.
I mean, what a perfect situation that you can wag the United States and the United States under Obama was happy to be wagged.
Well, you know, the thing is that Ben Rhodes actually, in an interview that came out yesterday, I was reading on Zero Hedge, actually admitted to that it was Obama who had that, the whole thing that was connected to that with the Syrian raids and the gas and all that stuff. In other words, it never happened that it was Russia or Assad who did it. It was Obama and ISIS that were complicit in the whole thing. Anyway, we're coming up to a break right now. We're talking to Chris Reed. Been extended stay here in this portion of Agenda 21 Radio, and we've been talking about the gas tax and a whole bunch of other things, New California. When we come back from the break, we're going to get Chris's perspective for about 30 seconds more. So stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio. And a lot of things going on in the world. We're kind of monitoring what's happening with these hearings in Washington, D.C. right now with Rod Rosenstein and Christopher Wray. I guess there's been a whole bunch of sparks and activity. We'll get a lot of coverage on that tomorrow. Anyway, stay with us. More to come here on Agenda 21 Radio. And remember to visit our website, agenda21radio.news. And remember, you have a right to voice. Right to voice, the new alternative to Facebook.
Talk Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-558-7297 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-558-7297 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-558-7297. That's 1-800-558-7297. Again, 1-800-558-7297.
Do you take Viagra? Are you tired of overpaying for your pills? What if you could get the exact same results for just a fraction of the price, guaranteed? Well, now you can with Sildenafil, the active ingredient in Viagra. With 20 milligram generic Sildenafil tablets, you get the exact same results of Viagra for less than $2 per pill. And again, the results are guaranteed. That's right, absolutely guaranteed results for a fraction of the cost of Viagra. So give your wallet a break and call us toll-free at 800-297-6668 to get your generic Sildenafil delivered discreetly to your door. And of course, while saving hundreds of dollars, you'll also be saving time by saying goodbye to those long, embarrassing pharmacy lines once and for all. Again, just call 800-297-6668 to get your generic Sildenafil with a 100% money-back guarantee. Getting your pills doesn't get any easier or cheaper than this. So call 800-297-6668 now.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. My employees and I would like to thank you for making MyPillow possible. Years ago, when I invented MyPillow, I thought I was the only one out there with problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I'd flip-flop all night, or wake up with a sore neck or headache. So that's why I invented MyPillow. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill to your exact individual needs to help you get to sleep faster and stay there longer, to get the quality sleep you need. I back it with my 10-year warranty and my 60-day money-back guarantee. And now to thank you, I'm bringing back my best offer ever. Buy one of my MyPillows and get another one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
One zero.
Back to Agenda 21 Radio with your host, Paul Preston.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. We're with Chris Street. Chris writes for Breitbart. He's got a number one story right now on Breitbart nationally and worldwide about this gas tax repeal. He's got dozens of articles out there. Chris, tell us how we can get in touch with you or watch and read what you're saying. I hear you typing away right now. Are you there, Chris?
I'm here.
All right.
Well, Paul, just as you were talking about the fun and games are going on in congressional hearings today, Representative Trey Gowdy just told Rob Rosenstein that you need to finish the hell up this investigation of Russia. The country's being torn apart, and just spank them as hard as you could. Yeah. And so to me, Paul, you're making progress. It's only a matter of time before, you know, the rats are going to be ejected from the halls of Congress.
Awesome. Tell us how we can get a hold of you.
Always catch me on Breitbart, California, every day.
Awesome. Okay, Chris, thanks for being with us today on Agenda 21 Radio. Okay, anyway, that was Chris Street, co-host. We call him co-host because we created the show together, Agenda 21 Radio, and always welcome him on board anytime. He wants to talk, he gets a chance to talk here on Agenda 21 Radio. Visit our website, agenda21radio.news. That's agenda21radio.news. Right to voice. You have a right to voice your opinion, and you can do so on Right to Voice, R-I-G-H-T, the number 2, V-O-I-C-E.com. That's where you can, well, express your opinion and protect your First Amendment right. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember, stay strong, America. Stay strong. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.